Well, if you're looking for something amazing to do this weekend or perhaps next week, you might think about going to the Harry Whitehorse International Wood Sculpture Festival. It's being held in Monona, Wisconsin, right next to Madison. And we're talking about it today on the show. Larry Mueller here, by the way, with a couple of guests. One of them, Gene Delcord. He is the founder of the festival, a Madison-based wood sculptor. He was mentored by Harry himself. Gene, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to be with us.
Thank you, sir.
Also with us today, Deb Whitehorse. Deb is vice president of the festival's steering committee, and Harry is her late husband. Deb, welcome to you.
Thank you for having us. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with us. So as we talk to our two guests today, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got questions about the festival. What do you want to know about wood sculpture carving? Have you seen a sculpture by Harry Whitehorse? I have one. I'm lucky one to have one in my own home. It's one of my prized possessions, as a matter of fact. It's a muskie that Harry carved for me quite a long time ago. I think it was 1988 or thereabout. So it's one of my prized possessions. Maybe you have one. Maybe you have other questions about sculptures. I hope you'll join in with a question or a comment or an experience to share. Number's 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. You know, the festival is coming up this weekend to begin with. Gene, maybe give us an overview of what you can expect to see if you go.
Well, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, there's going to be an opening ceremony where some representatives from the Ho-Chunk Nation will be there to speak. Their tribal president will speak to greet people to San Damiano, which is ancestral Ho-Chunk land. The mayor of Monona, Mary O'Connor, will be also speaking to greet everybody to Monona. And I'll introduce the artists. A person from the Friends of San Damiano will also talk about welcoming everyone to San Damiano as well. And then there'll be a little powwow demonstration so that the artists who are coming from all over the world will get to see Native American dance and hear some songs. And from there, we go to a meal, and that will be it for the night. But Saturday morning, we start working at 9 o'clock.
And sculpting.
Sculpting, yes, sir.
and we can observe that happening. And there's, as I imagine and know, there's food, there's some entertainment. Describe what that might be.
There'll be food vendors every day at lunch and in the evening. On Tuesday night, there will be actually San Damiano holds a beer garden four times a summer, and this will be their first one of the year. And the Cashbox Kings, a Chicago-based blues band, will be performing. And should be great fun, wonderful music. There'll be some wonderful food. There'll be more music on Friday as Monona will hold its first Make Music Monona ever. And San Damiano will also be one of the venues. So we'll have musicians playing here all day.
You know, this event, it's the first invitational international festival that's dedicated to a Native American person. As a lot, you know, that's a significant event, Gene.
Right, I agree. And you know, Harry was a mentor to me when I was just starting out in the art world. He was a very good friend, and his art is his art is wonderful. And I really want him to never be forgotten. You know, yeah. So hopefully this will draw attention and people will be interested in finding his sculptures around Dane County and checking them out.
Oh, there's just some beautiful stuff. Deb, I want to get you involved here. Tell us a little more about Harry's story. I kind of know it, but share it. How did he find his passion for sculpting?
He was born with it, there's no doubt. And he was surrounded by people who created art. In particular, his uncle George Seymour mentored him even as a small child. He taught him how to create jewelry and things made out of wood, everything, you know, the traditional things that Ho-Chunk people made and continue to make. And he joined the Navy in World War II. He got to, that got him over to Europe, where he toured the museums and decided then and there that's what he wants to do, is become a professional artist. He came back, took advantage of the GI Bill, went to the Colt School of Fine Arts on the Capitol Square in Madison. Did some time at the University of Wisconsin at Madison Area Technical College, and you know, devoted himself to art and then raising a family as well.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I really got to know Harry, or met Harry, I shouldn't say, I never really got to know him well, but through his brother Wally, who had, he and I shot some trap together. And as part of the Hope Rod and Gun Club way back a long time ago. And a very kind of an unassuming guy to me, to my
mind. Yes. Yeah, he would have been kind of, I think, a little bit amused at all the attention that he's getting here. He definitely would want to be involved in it and, you know, get to work and create a sculpture. Gene knows that.
I would bet that would be the case. How'd you meet Harry, Deb?
I always knew Harry through, my family was involved in ice sailing and auto racing. And so I always knew him from that. And Harry's and his first wife, they had seven children, and he ran a auto body shop, you know, and raised seven kids. And his first wife, Marlene, you know, died relatively young of cancer. And so I was living on Lake Kiganza at one point, and he would come out, and we'd go ice boating together. And one of my, you know, and so that's, you know, we certainly have a lot, had a lot in common through kind of some, you know, not so traditional things, ice sailing and auto racing and art. So yeah, that's how we met.
I think he tried his hand at a little trap shooting too.
Oh, he did, and I believe he ran a 500 a few times.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty darn good shot, for sure. And Gene, before we go to Audrey and Madison, Audrey, hang in there. I just how did you actually meet Harry?
I went when I joined the UW Art Department graduate program. I was really. Sort of tunnel visioned, I wanted to do wood sculpture. That's what I was interested in. And none of the professors there really did that. There was a man that carved wood and made furniture, but that was not quite what I wanted to do. And I made it very clear that I just want to learn how to be a sculptor. And Ho-Chunk artist and professor at the university, Truman Lowe, suggested I go down to Monona and meet Harry. And so that very day I went and visited Harry. He took me into his house that day, fed me, gave me something to drink, and we started carving birds together, and we did it for the rest of the winter.
And you were, I mean, sort of together ever since, or you know,
for a while we did snow carving together for a few years. Actually qualified, competing at an international level we qualified to be in the Lillehammer Olympics. They were having an experimental snow carving event that we could have participated in, but Harry rejected it because the IOC said you have to represent the United States. And Harry said, well, the Ho-Chunk have always sponsored us. If we can't represent them, we're not going to go.
Yeah.
And I respect that, but I was also sad because how often do you get to go to the Olympics? You know?
Audrey and Madison has something for us. Audrey, thank you for calling.
I just wanted to, Black Hawk Country Club has a heritage of the Ho-Chunk Indians. There are several mounds there, etc. And at one point, they had commissioned Harry to do a sculpture that was hanging in the dining room for years and years. I'm no longer a member of Black Hawk, but I have no idea what happened to it. All I know is that it's not hanging there anymore. But I would hope that they have kept it or that it's someplace or given to the right person who would appreciate and enjoy it.
Yeah. Deb, did you...
Yeah, I remember that. I was there for that. Or when he had to refurbish it. I don't believe I was around when he originally did it. But yeah, they had inquired with us a few times over the years about it. And thank you for the information. I'll have to follow up on that and make sure that's in a safe place.
Audrey, thank you so much for calling. And by the way, you can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear your own experiences and some of your own thoughts about Harry's work. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thanks so much for joining in today. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the Harry Whitehorse International Wood Sculpture Festival, June 14th through the 22nd of this year. It's bringing in artists from all over the world to participate in this event. And our guests are Gene Delcourt, who is the founder of the festival. He's also a Madison-based wood sculptor and, of course, Deb Whitehorse, vice president of the festival, and Harry is her late husband. So, questions or comments, again, you can join in 800-642-1234 or email to talk@wpr.org. Gene, what inspired you to create the Harry Whitehorse Festival?
Well, it was at one of the snow carving events we did early on in a place called Frankenmuth, Michigan. There was a team from Denmark that was there, and at the end of the workday, they hung out with us a lot. We became friends. And their captain told us that he was sponsoring a wood sculpture or organizing a wood sculpture festival in Hoya, Denmark, which is on the west coast of Denmark. And Harry kind of elbowed me and said, "Gene, this is what you've been looking for. You should apply." So I did apply. And they accepted me, and that sort of started it. And I went to 7 different events over the course of the years, and every time I'd come home, I would tell my wife, "Gosh, I would love to sponsor a wood sculpture festival, but I don't know how." And we went to Germany 2 years ago, and participated in another one. And on the plane ride home, we were talking about it, and my wife said to me, "If we don't do it now, maybe we're never going to do it. So we've got to do it." So I called Deb when I got home and told her I was interested in doing this and what she thought. And she said, "It sounds great. Go for it." She happened to be here at San Damiano just walking the grounds because they're incredibly beautiful. And she met up with a city councilwoman from Anona named Nancy Moore and mentioned it. And Nancy Moore called me up and we met for coffee. And she and a friend of hers, a retired teacher named Pat Howell, who was part of the Friends of San Damiano, They said, "Oh my God, this sounds great. This could be an annual thing, could be the biggest thing Monona's ever seen." And so that launched us off, and we started, you know, writing grants and trying to find funding and getting more people involved and interested. The mayor was all about it. We told her about it and she was very excited about it. And it's just taken off from there.
And you're right about the setting. the setting, yeah. I couldn't imagine a better place for this festival.
I agree. I agree. We had originally thought we would do it at Olbrich Park because Olbrich has a beer garden already in place. And knowing if we bring a lot of European artists, they're going to want to drink beer. And but then we happened to be going by San Damiano during one of their beer gardens fests, bicycles all over the front yard. And I didn't know. I thought it was still private land at that time. So we went in to see what it was, and there was a band playing and people picnicking on the grounds. And as soon as we saw it, we looked at each other, my wife and I, and said, "Oh my God, this is the place. It's got to be here."
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's no nicer place, at least in Dane County, where you can watch the sunset. It's spectacular.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Deb, I want you, well, maybe Gene to chime in too, but talk about Harry's legacy. He's left a huge legacy, and we find it. You know, if somebody comes to this event, they can also travel just around Madison. And you wouldn't have to go very far to see some of Harry's work.
Exactly. We Harry has, I believe, 10 public sculptures in Madison.
Yeah.
On his website, harrywhitehorse.com, there is a link to a map with all of the sculptures that you can see. Some are inside, some are out. So, yeah, he's, you know, I wonder if there's any other artist that has as many public sculptures as Harry. And he started out, originally he wanted to be a marble carver because that's what he saw in Europe. And after, I think he did one statue and thought, that's too heavy, I can't carry that around to exhibit. And so he kind of developed a way, he made metal sculptures, cutting out pieces of metal, pounding them to the shape like a puzzle, and then welding them together and then grinding the welds. For instance, there's a Vietnam veteran memorial in Fitchburg, Wisconsin, that is made with that process. But eventually, it took a toll on him, his arms, tennis elbow or sculptor's elbow, or whatever you want to call it, pounding all that metal out. So he kind of, he went back to wood, you know, the wood of his childhood. And that's when, you know, Gene came and they started working on birds together. And I'll have to say, you know, the chickadee was his favorite. He was really inspired by Wisconsin birds. He wasn't real anxious to do birds from, you know, kind of exotic birds. Sometimes people would ask him to carve a bird, a parakeet or something. And he didn't really care for that. He was very, had a real close connection to the birds that we see here.
Well, the muskie that I have that was carved, it's just so exquisite. The fins in that are so beautiful, and the carving of them, it was absolutely stunning in my mind. Not a large thing, you know, it's kind of bird size in a way, but...
Now, I'd like to ask you, Larry, what inspired you to ask him to carve a muskie?
Well, I am a muskie fisherman, and I have caught and released mostly maybe 150 muskies over my lifetime. But I spent a lot of time in the water fishing for muskies. So and I have many, many wood carvings in my home. Probably, I've got a whole room of maybe 40 duck carvings. But
wow.
But my prized possession is that one from Harry. A lot of meaning in that one. A lot of meaning. Carolyn DePere has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm calling representing several groups of vision impaired and blind people, and I'm wondering if a touch tour has ever been thought of, or are the art items too big for that?
I don't know about that. Gene, what do you think?
I imagine there are some sculptures that are very tall that would be difficult to do, but I most of the pieces that I've seen of Harry's could be touched. Most of the pieces that I've done, except for one, are certainly small enough that you could touch it and see it with your hands. I think this is a great idea. I've never promoted anything like that, but you've planted the idea in my mind, Carol, and I think it's a wonderful idea.
You know, the thing I think about a lot of Harry's work, okay, there are some very tall pieces, but within those pieces, there are, you know, there may be a small children or a bird or smaller things that are very intricate, even though it's a very large piece.
Right.
Yes, he was very detail-minded. It was important to him to get, he called it the attitude of bird, muskie, whatever he was carving.
Yeah. So, Carol, you planted a seed here, but I would think if, someone with sight issues would certainly benefit from touching and following the lines of that work.
Carol, you should probably try to organize a trip down here, perhaps late in the week when the sculptures are done or almost done, and then you could get a sense of what people have made by touching them. That would be really neat.
Yeah. May I ask one more thing? If this year is not workable at the last minute, is this the same timing each year?
This is the first one, and hopefully there are more to come. Right, Gene?
The hope is to do it every other year. The every year would be nice, but we found this time around many of the artists from other countries struggled to get visas in time. One hasn't even had his appointment to get his visa expedited because his original appointment was 2025 till tomorrow. He'll be seeing at the consulate in Paris tomorrow, and then it's going to take a day or two to get his passport and visa back. But he said he'll come, even if he comes late, he's confident he could get his sculpture done.
Carol, yes, keep listening. we'll keep you informed, but it's probably going to be an every other year event, which does make a lot of sense. Thank you for calling. Karen in Madison, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say I'm so, so happy that Harry is going to have this big... I'm right by Obrick Park, and I just love the Indians, and I've got a big wood sculpture that was done by a chainsaw when I lived in Boston, but I also do wood carvings, and I've got a couple, and I just hope I can get down there since I'm right next to Obrick Park and see everything. It's just so beautiful. I hope everybody in the world will come.
That, Karen, thank you so much. Well, I don't know if everybody in the world, but we're hoping for a lot of people and expecting quite a few people. There's just to mention, for those who would drive, there's parking at Monona Grove High School. And you can find this on the site, the website, but then you're going to be busing, although it's not a long walk from Monona Grove High School to San Damiano. Could either walk down from there or take one of the shuttle buses, right?
It's
about a quarter mile or?
Yeah, about a third.
About a third of a mile. It's not a long walk.
Yeah, a couple blocks. Yeah.
But there will be some shuttles to take people back and forth, and tickets. It's a free event, right?
It is.
So you can. Go ahead.
I think Eventbrite was used just for us to get a sense of what kind of numbers we might expect. So anybody that went on Eventbrite and purchased a ticket, that gives us a count.
That was the reason for it. Well, so you don't really need to purchase a ticket because the event is free. You can just show up. And again, let's go through the timing on this.
Deb, you want to do that?
Sure. Friday evening, tomorrow, the 14th of June, opening ceremony at 5 p.m. You will want a shuttle from MG21 Liberal Arts Charter School or Monona Methodist Church. All that info is on the website. And then the artist will start carving on Saturday. On Tuesday, we have the Cashbox Kings for the San Damiano Beer Garden. On Friday is Make Music Monona. And in addition to all the, sculptors that you'll be watching, and we have a lot of programming from the Little Eagle Arts Foundation, Ho-Chunk Artisans creating baskets, beadwork, weaving, and things like that.
And then we have a closing ceremony will be amazing on Saturday the 22nd, 5 p.m. All the sculptors will explain their works.
I tell you what, it's going to be great, and you can, and these sculptors will be sculpting away, and they'll have finished pieces, hopefully by the end of the week session. It's been great talking with you both. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. We'll have a link, but if you, the Harry Whitehorse International Wood Sculpture Festival, June 14th through the 22nd, we'll have a link on our page. Go to WPR.org/Larry, WPR.org/Larry, and go to today's date. But if you type Harry Whitehorse into a search engine, you're going to find it. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us.